That way I won't knock it off. And I'll put this other one over on this side, seeing that the button's that way. Okay, turn in your Bible to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 tonight. And I want to take some steps. You ready? Everybody going to get up? We're going to have several. How about 5 steps? Can we just do 5 steps tonight? Usually a sermon is 3 points, you know, and a poem. Somebody used to say it a long time ago. I heard that. And, well, too much, you know, that preacher would quit if that's all he's got is 3 points and a poem. Exhorting you in the Word by admonishing you by the expounding of the Word of God. That's what I've been called to do. I was called to do that a long time ago. God saved me. I wasn't in a church. I wasn't even seeking the Lord. I was in the military and a buddy of mine. I told the story over and over. One more time won't hurt it. Danny Schaefer was electrocuted, fried at 13,800 volts, cooked right in front of me. The thing that got me was I was next on that jackhammer. We were taking turns out at SAC headquarters. And I tell you what, God used that. That was a big turnaround in my life. I was brought up in Catholicism, upstate New York, Dominum Christum Sanctum. Who's playing dominoes in the balcony? Not for me. I didn't understand Latin. I was brought up in a parochial school even, okay? So, I mean, it just didn't make sense. And, well, if you believe what they say, and if you believe what many of the religions today, even Baptists, that don't believe in the sovereignty of God, they believe that if you live a good life, you can ask, just ask anybody. This week, I'll tell you what, the next couple of days, till Sunday, ask anybody out on the street, say, hey, are you saved? And if they say, well, I hope so, well, forget that, you know. Well, God didn't give us a hope so, He gave us a sure so, amen. But people, they believe, ask them, what is your dependence upon, why are you going to heaven? Why should you? I mean, why should God save you? Well, I've been a good person. Well, no, He only saves sinners, amen? Christ came into this world to save sinners. If people would just read their Bible, it takes more than that. It takes the Spirit of God. I know the opening the eyes and the understanding. But it all starts this way. Reading the truth, believing the truth, believe that what God said, we're sinners. And the only way we can be saved is through Christ. God provided the provision for what our needs were. And you know what? I got to tell you right now, this message tonight is all about how you don't know how to run your life correctly. And I don't either. That's why we're looking at Psalms 37, okay, tonight. Steps to peace, and you want to have peace, amen? I want everybody to not live a drudged life. And I'll tell you what, many a times when we don't trust the Lord, we're just hurting ourselves. God never wanted us to take control of our lives. We don't have the ability to run it. People say, well, I'm an educated man. Well, so what? I mean, if you're educated in the Word of God, you realize that you don't have it what it takes. That's why God gives us a new birth, not only a new nature, but a new way led by the Spirit of Christ in our hearts. Amen. And people just don't understand that. But if you're here tonight, you're saved, and you know you're saved, you ought to thank God for that, because I'll tell you what, when I got saved, I never got over it. I'm still not over it. And I thank you, Alan, for that prayer about how we're going to heaven, you know, and we're looking forward to that. Heaven's our home. We're on our way out of here, and I'm concerned about my grandchildren. I think about them, you know, they have souls. People that are born into this world, little babies, they have souls. And the soul is in God's hand. I believe that God is a just, merciful God. God saves through Christ. What about babies that die? Or what about these folks that don't have the mental capacity to even think straight? What happens to people that you know what I'm talking about? People that are insufficient to be able to think straight. And they have to have people watch them, take care of them. What about those folks? I believe they're going to go to heaven. Now, you may differ with me, but I believe, and we all go back to David with the baby. When the baby died, his relationship, even out of a adulterous situation, David, he prayed and he mourned. He wouldn't eat. And then they said there was a change in his life. And he said, well, there's no sense in praying. The child is dead. He said, now, I was praying that the child would be with me and stay with me, but God purposed differently. And God does all things wisely. And David committed himself. David wrote this psalm in his old age. If anything, we need to, if you were old, we ought to learn something by now. Amen. Let's at least learn this tonight. Steps to peace. And Psalm 37 is a psalm written by David, obviously. And verse 25 tells us that he was an old man. And he addresses a problem that has plagued people from the beginning, right from the start, since the dawn of time, somebody said. And the problem is, here it is. We all know what it is, right? Why do the wicked seem to prosper and the righteous suffer? Hey, we're on God's side. How come we have it rough? Oh, you poor thing. You hadn't done nothing compared to the saints of old who have gone through. I'll tell you, they lost their lives, many of them, for their profession of faith in Christ. Down through the centuries. Yes, Old Testament, New Testament, those that believed in Jehovah God, who is Christ Almighty, they lost their lives. And it was a sad thing. But, you know, if you want to put a message on this, too blessed to be stressed. How's that? Well, that was Adrian Rogers. He actually had that on his sermon he preached. Too blessed to be stressed. I thought, well, I was looking all. I have so many commentaries, dictionaries, and encyclopedias, and I have so many references, and I have a load of my own sermons that I've worked on for 47 years. Yeah, no, well, 45 at least, studies and sermons. And verse 1 and 2, envy is condemned. I want you to look at, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Say, it starts right out. And by the way, I got to tell you, this 36th Psalm and the 39th Psalm, David talks about that in those two Psalms. But right in the middle, we got this Psalm 37 that is the solution to the problem of those that are evil. Psalm 36, the transgression of the wicked. And by the way, the word wicked here, just in this Psalm, is, I believe 14 times it's mentioned. So we're talking about how God wants us to walk in the steps of holiness, of happiness, of contentment. He wants us to have peace. And I want to ask you tonight, do you have peace? Listen, a lot of times I don't have it. I got a little bit upset today because the VA sends medication. We're not recorded, are we? Are we even recorded here? Oh, okay. Well, anyway, they signed off my medication and they didn't deliver it to the post office. They've been messing up on other people's mails I get. I don't know about you. If you live in Ashland, I'm praying for you. Pray for me. Because my medication, we're talking about controlled substance on a couple of them, okay? And they were missing yesterday. They said it was delivered and it wasn't. Now, you say, why do you mention that? Because it's been eaten on me and I just wish I didn't have it eaten on me. So I'm preaching to myself tonight, and it bothered me. I had to have a policeman to come up to take a report and everything so I can go over to VA to verify. I don't want those people overthink that I am. There's a lot of drug addicts all in Ashland, Huntington, all around. And worse, I've never seen anything like this in the past. I guess I didn't realize how bad it is. And everywhere. You say, where can you go? Maybe Arizona. I don't know. Is it nice out there where they don't have any drugs? Well, we don't know. But I think it's everywhere. Okay, the drug addiction thing. And they're pumping it into our country, and it's ruining our... I talked to this policeman today, and he says, you know, we're watching our nation. And he told me, yeah, we agreed on this. Our nation is going down because people don't want to work because the government's paying for them not to work. And you say, that bothers me. Well, David says, fret not thyself. Don't let it bother you. Because, listen, people in this life, if they don't have Christ and you have Christ, you're eternally saved and you have a... We're on our way to glory. And we shouldn't fret ourselves. Because fretting, and this word, the Hebrew word for fretting here, we'll get into this study here, fret really means to, like, to wrangle, to twist, to become undone. And so the problem is, why do they seem to prosper? Why does it seem like the righteous are suffering and the wicked man is getting by in what he does? Well, verse 1-2, envy is condemned. First of all, that's what he says. Fret not thyself. It's an end. We're going to read five imperatives, okay? Five imperatives, five steps to peace. These are not optional. These are not if you like to take it. You know, this might help you. God is commanding. The imperative is a language of command. And so what we have in verse 1-2 is envy not, especially when the object of envy is a lost person. We shouldn't envy lost people, amen? And then he goes on, let's read a little more and we'll come back. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't fret, because if you fret, guess what? That leads to what? Envy. And we're going to see a little bit further down that in verse anger, look at verse 8. Cease from anger. You start out, and we're talking about steps to peace. David is telling us, God is telling us, this is steps to peace. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's all I have. You could probably go on and find more. But I'm just going to give you 5. First of all, number 1, verse 3. Here it is. What can we do? Trust in the Lord. Amen? He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Do good. And that's our responsibility as Christians. Have faith in God, no matter what comes to pass. And do good, because that's what we've been called onto, a salvation that is Christ-like, a salvation. He came doing all manner of good, not evil, good. And we are to follow in His footsteps. So we're to fret not, trust in the Lord, do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed. Now, this really does have reference to the children of Israel. It goes back to the covenant that God made with Abraham. God said He's going to give them a people. He's going to give not only a people, but a place for those people. And that's Canaan. Did you know the people that were in Canaan living before Abraham got there, they were idolaters. And a lot of them hung around even after Abraham, during there and after Abraham's life. And they've been all around through there. They're still there today, many of them. And there are many various forms of idolatry that Abraham came and was confronted by. So here's what we're talking about. In verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, didn't Christ say, ask what you will? In my Father's house, I've got a place for you. In my Father's name, there's many things that you ask, and it will be given you. Amen. If it wasn't so, He would say so. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness. Verse 6, the end result, it seems like, as the light. When we trust and when we commit, He shall bring forth thy righteousness. You'll shine like we're supposed to as Christians. We are the light of the world. And thy judgment as the noonday. Correct judgment. We can make the right move. What should we do about this situation? Well, why don't we pray about it? In all things, in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request be made known unto God. And he goes on to say in verse 7, rest in the Lord. Seems like we're done there, but we're not. We're going to go down a little bit further. So step number 1, we're talking about some steps. If they're followed, they will enable us to find peace. And that's what Psalm 37, I find. I've studied about it. That's what I got my notes about here. And I wrote it down. I thought about it. And I said, boy, you know, I could preach over there in Revelation 22 about the end times. No, I don't want to do that. I'll do something for all of us, how we need to be stepping in the light. You know that song? I love that song, Stepping in the Light. Well, through it all, right, I've learned to trust in Jesus. The psalmist offers us an alternative to worry here. And the steps that he gives us, how we can get and step into this peaceful, what God has called. Steps of peace that leads us into paths of life, true life in Christ. What he came to give, he gave us, and we are to, if we are going to experience it and utilize what God has for us and enjoy what God has given us in us, then we will trust the Lord. The command, we're going to find 3 times, there's the command and then there's the comfort. The command and then the comfort. Verse 3, control your walk. That's the command. And he issues a twofold command in that verse there. Trust the Lord, right? And then secondly, do good. Twofold command, right? And then you get down a little bit further in verse 4. Here's we need to condition our will. Okay? Control your walk.
You know? I like what the captain of the ship, you know, back in the days before they even had it. Now, it's amazing. They can get to point A to B and no problem. But the stars, not the zodiac, but the, not astrology, but astronomy. You know, I mean, study of stars. They studied and they on their course, God is consistent with the heavens. And so they could get to where they wanted to go. Amazing. That God gave them a map in the sky. And steady the course, right? That captain would say to those who take over the wheel and while he got some rest maybe or went got a bite to eat. And that's what we need to do. Steady the course, amen. Stay in line with what God is teaching us and what we already know. By the way, Psalm 37 is you'll find in the Sermon on the Mount. There's so references. In fact, Christ even quotes over here. I think it's verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I believe the Lord quoted. I think that's the verse. I had it in my notes. Maybe I'll come across it. If not, don't worry about it. So we don't live by somebody who wasn't Warren Wiersbe said, we don't live by explanations. We live by faith. Trust. Amen. Trust the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. So, we need to control our walk, though. And the way the emphasis on the verse is for us to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Don't get your eyes on people that seem to be wicked that are succeeding. They seem to have it. How is it that they don't honor God? And they seem to be abounding in these things that are temporal. And this is what Psalm 37 is going to bring out. You're going to be cut off like the grass, like the flower. That's what we read in Psalm 37. Their days are few and numbered for judgment to come. And when it talks about the burning, and it has reference to the lake of fire, believe it or not, for the wicked, there are those that God will one day cast into the lake of fire. People say, I don't want to believe that. Well, I'll tell you what. God has sent His Son into this world. And what He did for you and me that are saved, we are thankful. We know that God, what was it, Genesis 18? What did God say to Abraham? Remember, Abraham was concerned about Lot down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and that was a bad place to go. He wasn't watching where he was walking. He took his eyes off the Lord. He looked at the green grass down there. He said, whoa, I can really, you know. And look at what happened to his family. His daughters even committed sexual relationship with their dad. And we had what? Ammon and... what's the other guy? Begins with a B, I believe. Well, they're south of Israel right there, southeast. Amnon and two that they named, sons of Lot. Out of the awful relationship. He lost his wife. He lost his family. They mocked him. They made fun of him. Because he tried to walk in a wrong pathway. He succeeded, but then he failed. He failed miserably. He failed eternally, too. Now, Lot was a righteous man, we're told by Peter. You know, if you read the Old Testament about Lot's life and then you didn't have the New Testament, you think, Lot, boy, he's a goner. But for some reason, God saved him in spite of his mess up. And I'll tell you what, God saves us many a times because of our mess up in life. We don't live the way we should. We ought to. Let's do it. Amen. Time's short. So first of all, control your walk. Verse 4 says, condition your will. Now there's the command and then there's the comfort out of it. The comfort there about controlling our walk was that when we do His will, He'll take care of us. How well David knew that, man. I mean, he was an old man, and he had seen the Lord allow him. Well, what is it down there? Let's look. I've seen the Lord, yet now am I old. Where is the verse? Look at verse 23. Now, this is where I get the idea of the steps. Steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. If God gives the orders, are you obeying the orders? Let's put it that way, and look at. And he delighteth in his way, though he fall. He shall not be utterly cast down. Why? Because we're children of God. God keeps His own. God never loses any of His own, His elect. For the Lord upholds him with His hand. This is David writing. David lived this. Now look at verse 25. And David says, hey, I've been young, yeah, but now I'm old.
Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Does that mean that the righteous didn't suffer? The righteous weren't put to death by the wicked? Many a times they suffered all through the centuries. You know, the saints of God, God's children, had many a time suffered. And but you say, well, was that God's will? I'll say this. God teaches us in things that we suffer greater far than what we would ever learn if we were not put to the test like that. You know, we have testings. The test of faith. The trial of your faith being more precious than gold, Peter says. It'll bring forth some great blessings and rewards future yet. So, the Greek word here for delight, delight in the Lord. And it's a command, by the way, in verse 4, delight in the Lord. That word there, delight, in the Hebrew, it means to take exquisite delight in the Lord. And if you know what God has done for you through His Son, I can take exquisite and beyond, unbelievable the descriptions that we can say. Amazing grace we sing, but we can sing a lot more than just about His grace. All of His attributes, all reflect His greatness, His beauty, His love, and His mercy. God is so wonderful, greatly to be praised, we're told, in the assembly of the saints. Now that's a command, delight. That means well, I got a delight, God commanded me. Well, at all times of life, we're challenged to let the Lord be the focus of our attention. And the focus on who He is, to us anyway, what He has done for us, like Paul said in Ephesians 1:3, our pastor just read, quoted it the other night, Sunday night, I think. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Listen, here we find how much He loves us. Even the darkest day that you have ever had can be endured because we know something better awaits us down the road. Amen and amen. Now, the comfort. Well, I just told you what comfort is there, but when we were lost, folks, our will and our desires as lost people, we didn't honor the Lord. We didn't give Him the respect. We despised goodness God changed my heart, and I pray that if you're saved, I know He's changed yours if you're saved. God's going to open the windows of heaven, He promised, amen, when we arrive at that place where God has gone. Christ has said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That was 2,000 years ago, He did that. And He gives us every desire of our hearts, we're told there. So, number one, control our walk. Secondly, condition our will. Let's get to step number three and stay in step. How about committing your way? And that's in verse 5 and 6. Let's read it there. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now, remember, I said these are all in commands. Every one of these are a command, and then we find the comfort. Now, here in verse 5 and 6 here, we are to commit our way. The word commit there, it means to roll. Now, get this. Roll unto. Commit. Roll unto. What are we supposed to roll unto the Lord? How about our burdens? Every burden that we have, we roll unto the Lord. Every burden. The idea here, this word commit, in the Hebrew it means to roll unto. To roll. What are we to roll? Burdens of life over unto the Lord. The Lord has not asked for His children to carry the burdens of life alone. No, no, no. He tells us to bring them to Him. Matthew chapter 11, 28. Christ said, come unto me, ye heavy laden, burdened. That's a classic verse that we all like, how true it is. But it's a command over here in Psalm 37. God's not saying, well, you know, if you get downloaded, if you think about it, it's not optional. God wants to be in our life to help to do what we cannot do. He carries our load. He directs our steps, and it better be, or we're going to get, who knows where we're going to wind up. The Christian life is for Christ to live in us. What did Paul say in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20? I got it here somewhere in some of these notes here. And he says, the life that I live now in the flesh, he says, I live by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he not say that? Well, it's all right. Okay, I've got it down here. Too late looking all over my notes here. I had a little eye problem today. I don't know what it is. My eyesight, I had burning eyes. I've had trouble time. You think the Lord cares about dental situations in our life? I've been getting two teeth at a time plucked, and I got two more yesterday, and I'm telling you, it's killing me. So if I look like I got a face that's wrong a little bit, kind of, ask my wife. It's been rough. It's been rough. I've been getting them left and right. They're getting them all out so they can give me some of these false things that I hope that don't fly out. There was one preacher at a conference. Wanda can tell you this actually happened. He was preaching like this, and I think it was Brother Johnson, Wilbur Johnson. That's who it was. He was preaching with false teeth, you know, and he gets excited if you knew the guy. He'd go like that, oh! And his teeth went right out there, and no lie, this actually happened. He went out and he grabbed them, boom, and just went on with his sermon. Now that was a miracle. I'm telling you, that was, yeah. Everybody's going, wow. And they forgot what the sermon was all about because of the distraction, you know. And we shouldn't do that. But we need to control our will, condition our will, amen. Condition it to not my will, but thy will be done. And we need to commit our way, and that's a command. Roll your burdens to the Lord. Leave them there. This was the resolve of Job when he was called upon to suffer, amen. I mean, Job, let's be resolved in our hearts, amen, this evening to do the same. You got a problem. Oh, you don't have a problem? Wow, you're different. No matter what your problems are. Give the Lord that. He's not only concerned about you, but you're responsible to give it to Him. It's in the imperative. That's what gets me. He doesn't ask you to roll it. He says, do it. And let's do it. And you'll be happy that you've done it. Amen. God's commandments are wonderful. They're for us. They are. If God be for us, who can be against? Phil in Kentucky said up in the mountains there. But the comfort, the whole emphasis here is when we walk in faith, man, placing our burdens on the Lord, He's going to take care of us. Well, that's verse 7. Here's one. Consecrate your weight. Now, imperative. In the Hebrew here, it's a command. Now let's notice, let's read it, verse 7, get back to Psalm 37:7. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. To what, with reference to the evil man, the wicked man, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now why do you think that wicked man's bringing those wicked devices to pass? So he can prosper more than that? That he got something on you. He'll throw some evil on you. He'll make it hard on you. That's what the reference there is talking about there. But the command is that we are to consecrate our weight. Wait on the Lord, I say. And again, I say, wait. So, rest in the Lord and wait for Him. The word rest means to be silent. Rest. That's what the Hebrew word means. You know, our soul is like, you're gonna be quiet on the outside, and on the inside, you're bubbling inside. You're something's irritating you. Something's on your mind, and it's bothering your health. And He says, rest. That's a command, and it means to be silent. Silence. That's what the Lord says. Quiet. Quiet, everybody. That's what the Lord commands us. Why? You know, have you ever had children run around? And I mean, they are noisy. Quiet! This little boy, he was in the kitchen with his mommy. Had to work hard getting a little food, supper ready. And he had his little toy truck, man. This is probably Nolan one. And he's going back and forth. And his mother couldn't take it anymore. She said, stop! Stop! And he went, That was it. Too late. Oh, my goodness. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And here, listen, let's get past that word rest, which means to be silent. But then he goes on to say that we're told not to fret. Now, that word there, fret, means to blaze or to get hot. You ever get hot? Under the collar, you know. Did you ever get angry? See, the idea here is the word fret here, this word here in the Hebrew, means to blaze, to get hot. It carries the idea of getting ourselves worked up into a rage over some little matter. My wife says, well, don't worry about it. Yeah, but... Lord knew I needed Wanda. Believe me. And if you have a wife that is comforting like that and consoling, and she's so quiet, and she, you know, she's a good example of what we would have been many a times. Did I get a little bit too loud there, Alan? All right, I'll quit then. Okay, so it means that the blaze or to get hold. What time is supposed to quit? 5 minutes? Three? 10 minutes ago? Okay. But the idea is to don't get all bothered over this thing. Don't get all agitated. You know, be silent. Now let me read you a verse, Isaiah 53:7, about Christ. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Did he get hot? No, he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers, and is dumb. That means he didn't open his mouth. Quiet. He's our example. He's sovereign God Almighty, Lord, the King of Kings. There he is. He humbled himself even to the death of the cross for me. Regardless of the burden that you got, called the bear, and God, things don't happen come in your life by accident, by the way. We need to learn not to whine. Don't you hate it when people whine? I know my wife, if I'm just keep whining and, oh, when's he going to stop? But last of all, step number 5, and I want conquer your wrath. Now look at verse 8, okay? And we're taking 5 steps, and this is the last step. Commit your way, consecrate your way, but this last one, conquer your wrath. Now, how do you do that? Well, verse 8 says, cease to from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Because the wrath, when you get hot, like it talking about, you remember in verse 7, that we need to wait on the Lord, commit it to the Lord. We got a problem here, Lord. Give it to the Lord. If it's a burden, one thing. If it's something that's irritating you, envy not the wicked. Don't get it to where you're hot, bubbling under the collar. Conquer that wrath. How do you do that, Lord? Well, we find that we sing, let him have his way with thee. Let him have his way with us, you know. We're commanded to refrain from anger. It's easy to get bitter. Sometimes we get bitter at God. We complain because, you know, well, I'm saved. God's allowed this to happen in my life. Or the church, maybe. Man, how many church splits and fights and bicks and bitters, and then everybody thinks the big I and the little you, you know, it's us four no more. And I've seen it all. You've seen problems that should have never happened. Now, granted, sometimes the devil gets some people in the church. And maybe these folks that were on the church roll even, but never were saved. Maybe they were saved and they really just lost it and they made the biggest mess of a church. And we wonder why we have problems. Let it never happen here. From here on out, okay? I don't know what you had in the past, but it ain't going to happen now, please. I'll stand up if I have to do something and say, God help us. Paul fought a good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith. Some people fight the faith and keep the fight. And that's sad. I shouldn't humor about this because it's serious. Amen. You know, we need to be careful that we don't abandon righteousness for evil in the day of our afflictions. That's basically what I'm saying. God's will for us is that we stay the course. There's going to be an end of our struggles one day, and we are to abide in the will of God faithfully until He calls us home. And I doubt any of us will ever suffer like Paul, but he said he fought the fight. He fought a good fight. What he means by a good fight? He did what God told him to do. He stood for righteousness. He was called as God's servant. He, you know, Christ, look at what happened to him. Look at what happened to Paul. But all this sounds difficult. It sounds like, you know, we're to just lay back and allow life to take us where it will. That's not what I'm saying. If you think that's what I'm talking about, you know, just dwindle it into nothing. No, no. We're to be active in all these. These are not only imperative tenses. That means that's action. Action. Commands with action. And the truth is that the commands in these verses are a call to action. Trust. Delight. Commit. Rest. And the last one there is cease. And that word cease in Hebrew is a command. And, you know, God is calling us to take control of ourselves as we yield to the Lord. He's calling us to be involved in the process. God, we need you to lead my life, but I need to be active in that. You, as the Lord leads the way through the wilderness, all I have to do is follow. Let's follow, though. Let's follow what God has commanded us to do. Remember, all complaints, God hears. And God help us not to complain. Amen. Hey, God's been good to us. Amen. He said. That's my message tonight, by the way. And it's 8 o'clock, and I got to quit because we got to go home. Amen. Brother, come. We got a closing hymn and prayer.
No closing hymn tonight. But we'll...
All right. Well, how about just prayer? Yeah, don't leave that out. Okay, we can sing after we're dismissed then, I guess.